to be a guy. A real bad guy. Then things changed. Now I look at the cards I got dealt in a different way. One thing's for sure. Change is gonna come.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen! And not a one of you is prepared for it!
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight, we have the 2016 movie recommended by our father. A movie called The Assignment. Perhaps recommendation is too strong. Perhaps it was just suggested by our father.
Yeah, that was my first question. Was it really recommended?
Yeah, I don't know that it was a recommendation as much as it was like, hey, I watched this. Maybe you guys could discuss it.
I'm not sure he'd even watched it before he asked us to talk about it.
What? So he's just screwing with us?
Maybe.
Quite possibly.
Since this was not on anybody's list, who wants to jump in?
I don't know where to jump in.
Wait, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay.
This movie was made.
I know. That in and of itself is a feat. Or a questionable, maybe an indictment of the industry.
Did you look up the pedigree of this movie?
That it had different titles?
No. I mean, like, the writer-director.
Oh, yeah. Walter Hill.
He's a real guy.
Yeah.
From Jonah Hill's brother.
From 48 Hours, Hank Hill's brother, actually.
Oh, very nice. Damn it, Bobby.
He did 48 Hours and The Long Riders and The Warriors. Yeah, he's a real guy. And the writer, you know, the Dennis Hamill?
Writer. You're using writer very generously.
No, he's a journalist. And he wrote the screenplay in 1978.
Which so he sat on this for like 40 years?
Well, it makes sense to me.
Define the logic underlying that conclusion, please.
It's a movie called The Assignment. The original title of the story was Tomboy, also known as Tomboy, A Revenger's Tale. The original title of the movie was... In parentheses, re-assignment.
That would have been at least a little clever.
Yeah.
Or cleverer, more clever. Clever-ish? I'm not sure.
So, okay.
The noise you just made is exactly how I feel about this movie.
Okay. First of all, I think this is, for the first time in a while, I think we're all going to agree on a movie. And for the first time, maybe ever, we're all going to trash a movie. I'm going to do a little bit of defending or maybe some explaining just so that I can have the movie in my head make sense. But let me just dive into the plot a little bit. So the movie starts with Dr. Rachel Jane, played by Sigourney Weaver, who is described as a rogue plastic surgeon with a twisted vision for a better world. And she is in a psychiatric institute because she has to do that before she goes to jail for murder. So she is the Hannibal Lecter of this movie, and she is being interviewed by Dr. Ralph Galen, played by Tony Shalhoub, who is, he has to assess her as part of her sentencing. And nobody likes it. She's not into it. He's not into it. They just have this thing to do.
Okay, but Tony Shalhoub, he's the best one in this movie. He gives the best performance.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Tony Shalhoub, and I think he does a great job in this movie.
Yes, he is swimming upstream the entire time, but he never gives up.
No, absolutely not.
I think Sigourney Weaver gave up the minute she cashed the check.
I wonder if she was channeling the other side of Copycat.
Maybe. There's a lot being channeled in this movie. I think at least a couple of the participants in this movie had good intentions. But, okay, so this movie, it takes place mostly in flashback. Because as Shalhoub is talking to the doctor, they're both doctors, talking to Dr. Weaver.
Oh, I think she's no longer a doctor. She's a former doctor.
Yeah, well, sorry, prisoner. So they are telling the tale of something that happened several years ago, 3 years to be exact, where her brother Sebastian was murdered by a hitman by the name of Frank Kitchen. And she discovers Frank's identity and hires an underworld figure called Honest John Baconian, played by Anthony LaPaglia. By the way, I really liked Anthony LaPaglia in this movie, too.
Agreed.
But so Honest John hires Frank Kitchen to do a hit, but it's really a double cross because he's going to serve Frank Kitchen up to Dr. Rachel Jane because there's like a bounty on Frank Kitchen's head. So Frank Kitchen, who we get to meet a little bit, he wakes up in a sleazy motel room, having been gender reassigned against his will.
Well, before that, we actually get to see Frank as Frank for a few scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We get to know Frank as Frank. Well, Frank continues to be Frank. That's the thing about this movie that it took me a second to wrap my head around. This is not a movie about transsexuals. This is not a movie about transvestitism. This is just an exploitation movie. Because this has no commentary on any of those larger issues. This is a revenge tale, because now Frank, who is, by the way, played by Michelle Rodriguez, has to deal with A, now being a woman, and B, getting revenge for what horrible thing has done to him. And the circumstances of Dr. Jane's being in jail, which they kind of measure out little by little. She is accused of killing her colleagues. Well, the police don't believe that this Frank Kitchen person exists. So there's this tension in the plot about what's really going on. And then there's a lot of, you know, revenge killing. And, I mean, I guess I could do a little bit of yada yada, but it goes through the whole story of how Frank Kitchen takes revenge on the doctor.
Frank Kitchen takes revenge on the doctor, or the doctor takes revenge on Frank Kitchen?
Well, both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It eventually gets closer and closer back to the present. And, we get to see as this goes to, I guess, there's a couple of conventions that happen. There's a flashback convention, but there's also, we get introduced to the convention of Frank Kitchen giving his confession by video. And there's this whole thing of this girl that he hooked up with before he ran into this surgery and hooks up with her again after the surgery. And there's some twists and turns there. And I guess I don't really want to give away the entire end of the movie. I mean, unless you guys think it's so bad nobody should ever watch it. Because I think there was one clever part to it.
I would be curious to okay. I would not recommend this movie to anybody. Not even for like not even a hate watch, not even it's so bad it's good. It's just bad.
Well, I think that the only reason to watch this movie is if you really want to see Michelle Rodriguez's tits over and over and over again. If those were actually even hers. But, again, don't know. I'm assuming they were hers. But that's the only reason to watch this movie. Now, personally, I have no interest, so
What did you think of her performance as a post-op Frank?
Without knowing enough about Frank, it's hard to know her performance as Frank through the female vehicle. I found and Jesse, boyfriend Jesse, watches with me, suffered through this with me. God bless him. He and I were both pretty much annoyed at the narration style and it just was so forced. The narration vehicle was really...
Well, it's a little hacky.
Yeah. This movie is trying to be way too clever in way too many ways, in ways that have been done much better by other movies.
I'm going to disagree there, but go ahead. I mean,
the really cartoony cutaways, scene transitions.
Yeah, I don't think that's, I mean, yes, it's a little hacky, but I don't think it's trying to be anything else. I just think it's trying to be what it ends up being.
Why would you put that in unless you're trying to be something bigger? In itself was ridiculous. It didn't add anything to this movie. It detracted, in fact.
No, it's just straight, to me, it's straight out of 70s exploitation movies. I mean, you get a kooky premise, and you get a variety of acting, although in this case, this is an extremely well-cast 70s exploitation movie.
It's an amazing misfire with a cast like this, but the cast like this isn't good enough to make the writing any good.
It's trying to be a cartoon noir, though. That's what it's trying to be. Sin City, but on like a tenth of the budget.
That's exactly what I'm saying. This movie has been done better in different ways. This is a bad story with bad writing. It could have been a good story with good writing, but it never happened. And again, the actors, as good as the actors are, could not bring up the dialogue because the dialogue is crap.
Oh no, I agree. The dialogue is horrible. And yeah, I don't think they were successful because, so this is going to be a short episode about the assignment. Maybe we'll have lots of housekeeping, but here's my take on this movie. I mean, it's just a straight up revenge movie. The twist is this whole gender reassignment surgery thing. But the problem for me is that, you don't really feel anything for Frank Kitchen. Like, you don't feel anything before his surgery. I didn't feel anything for Sigourney Weaver. Not even, like hatred or fear or anything. She's not a great villain in this, except that she's puzzling. But those questions are never answered, really.
I also think the beginning of this movie... The beginning. Anywhere in this movie. But the setup to this is that... Ostensibly, Sigourney Weaver, the Dr. Jane, which is funny because Dick and Jane, but anyway, it's funny that she wants to get revenge based on this overwhelming love for her brother that is never developed in the movie. It's just kind of barely talked about. And so there's no investment from the audience standpoint, at least for me. I didn't have any empathy for the loss of her brother because he wasn't sympathetic to begin with. So to me, it was kind of, it didn't mesh because you have this contradiction of, I love my brother. He was a great, he didn't deserve what happened to him, blah, blah, blah. Except she says he was a terrible person. She knew he was a terrible person.
Well, none of the characters are well developed at all. None of them. This is like an episode of The Twilight Zone or Masters of Horror or, you know, Tales from the Crypt, that kind of thing. I mean, that's the level of this. They should have jacked up the cartooniness of it.
I think if they had jacked up the cartooniness and maybe give it some dark comedy elements rather than trying to play it as strictly, I don't even know what they were trying for.
Well, okay, I'm going
to
hazard a guess.
I think they were trying to make this too serious when it should have been better as a dark comedy.
Well, Michelle Rodriguez, this had to have been a passion project for her. This had to have been something that she said, oh, I want to do this because I will be able to stretch my acting wings or whatever. But frankly, I think, if you pardon that pun.
Frank.
Yeah, frankly, Beans and Frankly. This would have been
Don't call me Frank.
No beans and Frank anymore. This would have been a better movie if somebody else had played Frank pre-surgery. It was so distracting.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. No, the pre-surgery Frank was awful. It's terrible. Like, you know, Michelle Rodriguez is sort of a masculine looking woman. Not in a bad way. It's just she's pretty butch. Yeah, her version of pre-op Frank was laughable. It was distracting. It was so bad. I mean, it just looked like a woman where somebody had spray painted a beard on her.
Yeah, it was bad makeup. It was bad.
And a prosthetic penis.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Yes, I agree.
It was, I mean, arguably the whole movie is unnecessary. But I don't mean, like, to me, when I realized this wasn't going to be serious, I thought, okay, so this is going to be like Taken, you know, where what was taken wasn't a daughter, but a penis. Or, you know, this is Death Wish. This is a Charles Bronson movie or something. Except the stakes were kind of low. I mean, the doctor, if anything, Sigourney Weaver's character had better revenge stakes than Frank does.
The stakes were low and nothing really happens. Like, this is not an action movie. There are a couple scenes with action in them, but this movie is like 90% exposition.
But they're also barely action, because in all of the murder scenes, she walks in and kills them and it's over. There's no tension. There's no, I mean, at no point did I think she was ever going to be in peril up to and including the end of the movie.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I mean, in the assignment 2, it's going to be a lot different.
Assignment 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Something, yeah. The Unkindest Cut.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is there's just so much talking in this movie for such a dumb plot.
It is.
They spend so much time talking and so much time trying to convince us that Sigourney Weaver's character is like so smart and so brilliant. But like you mentioned before, the dialogue is so bad. It's cringe inducing listening to Sigourney Weaver not even try. That's how bad the dialogue was. It's like she could not give two fucks.
Well, okay, what do you think about Dr. Jane being dressed in more like guy appropriate clothing? Like, were you thinking at any point that maybe she had undergone reassignment?
No, I thought that was them trying to shoehorn a theme further into the movie.
Okay. See, I thought this was a big red herring thing. Because, okay, So, just to give away the plot of it, I mean, basically, Frank has this horrible thing done to him by a doctor, by the way, who is just basically experimenting. Like, she apparently has a back alley clinic where she does these almost maybe human centipede kind of surgeries, we think, or maybe just gender reassignment surgery. I don't know. They never really go into that. Is she a master villain? Like, you know, is she doing all sorts of crazy things, like grafting half pig, half man, and just happened to do this to him because she thought it was tricky? Or is she really thinking about gender that they don't ever explore, and this is not the vehicle to do it in because it would be very disrespectful?
Have either of you seen The Human Centipede?
Yeah, I saw the first two.
Is it better than this movie?
No, it's got a better idea.
You think this movie is better than Human Centipede?
No, I guess not. I mean, The Human Centipede has a really good idea. Or, not a good idea. The Human Centipede has an original idea. And I realized that The Human Centipede was sold as a movie by the writer or director or whatever saying, oh no, I checked it out with the doctors. This is medically possible. No, I would not recommend Human Centipede, But I mean, this is not, I don't know, this is neither as good nor as bad as The Human Centipede. How about that? The Human Centipede is an idea that the further along in the movie you get, the more like gag-inducing it is. This movie doesn't provoke any of those emotions at all. I mean, maybe if you were watching this in 1978 on the Multivisions or something, this would be titillating because you get to see, well, tits. And also like a prosthetic penis taped to Michelle Rodriguez. But other than that, there's not a whole lot going for this. Although I think, like I said, I think Michelle Rodriguez was trying hard. I think this she wants to put this on her acting resume.
She was
trying.
She was giving it all, but she is better when her performance is more on the understated side of the spectrum.
And she was doing a lot of acting by herself, too. Like, maybe she needs to play off more people. Except for the scenes between she and the girl, which were pretty much groan-inducing the entire time. That was awkward. And it was an awkward plot point. Let's just give this plot point away. So she hooks up with the girl beforehand. Then after the surgery, and he is trying to find a place to stay to collect his wits and sharpen his knives to go after the doctor. He hooks up with her again, and she's like, "Oh yeah, you were so great or intriguing. You can stay at my house all the time." So it's like, well, that's weird. But then you realize, no, she's a plant by the doctor to keep tabs on him.
The best thing this movie did, like the most like surprising thing in a good way this movie did, didn't actually happen. When he's confronting her about actually being a rat, and then he says, you know, the safe thing to do would be to kill her. And then he shoots her in the head. I was like, oh, finally the movie did something. But no, it was he was just fantasizing. He doesn't actually kill her.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. He should have killed her. There's no reason to believe he has any heart at all. He's shown no emotion during the whole movie. Except for he's distraught after realizing what had been done to him surgically.
Well, I was gonna say he feels the loss of his penis.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think that part, you know, that part probably was a lot of Martin Sheen in the hotel sort of acting, you know?
That's really generous.
No, it is very generous. You're right. Yeah, and if the Doors had both resurrected and reunited to perform a song while she was having that revelation, that could have been interesting, but it wasn't. Okay, but so and again, if it's very simple, so Frank goes after revenge after the doctor that got revenge on him, and he gets revenge on everybody, and story over. And part of the revenge on the doctor is not to kill the doctor, but to frame her for killing a bunch of her colleagues or henchmen or whatever. And when they flash back to when the doctor is captured, she is found on this operating table, with like a bloody crotch. So you think maybe something, he had done something to her. And turns out he had. Because at the end, you see her in this bathtub, which is a strange scene in itself. But in a shocker, at least for me, I like thought, wow, finally something interesting in this movie. She pulls her hands out from the water and he has cut off all of her fingers. He left her thumbs though, I think.
He did. And he left her middle fingers longer.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well, yeah. So it's pretty great. I thought that was pretty great. I mean, it never rose past the level of, you know, an exploitation movie, but.
That makes no sense. If he framed her for the murders, then people think she committed these murders. What happened to her fingers? Who did that?
Well, there's that.
She did that to herself? That makes no sense.
Well, she's very clever, apparently.
Yeah, they kept telling us she's clever. They never demonstrated it.
That's the thing. You can't do Hannibal Lecter. You can't do that anymore. It's very difficult because you have to be Hannibal Lecter. Unless you go right out of your way in the very beginning and say, oh yeah, this is somebody who's Hannibal Lecter, and then she doesn't keep trying to prove it to you. Because that's what got her into trouble, is because she keeps having to talk. The scariest people don't talk at all.
It's just, there were a couple different where it went from Sigourney Weaver monologuing. I mean, I guess technically it was a dialogue with Tony Shalhoub, but she was essentially monologuing. Cut to Michelle Rodriguez just monologuing to the camera, cut back to another scene with Tony Shalhoub and Sigourney Weaver. It, like, nothing happened. It was just in my head. I was just saying, just shut the fuck up and do something. Stop talking.
Yeah, that's the other peril of telling a tale in reverse order. Is that you have to have some sort of action. It has got to progress.
Oh, man. Sigourney Weaver is good. She's a good actor.
Oh, yeah. She's really good. She's one of the best, arguably.
I don't know what happened.
This was a paycheck.
She's in the Netflix show The Defenders, which is extraordinarily silly. But she's great. Her performance in that is fantastic.
I want to say she was directed to be so bad.
Why would you allow that to be done to your career?
Again, on paper, this is a great film. This is a world-renowned director. These are stars that are starring in this. But it's bad.
Anthony LaPaglia was the only one who knew what kind of movie he was in.
You don't think Tony Shalhoub knew what kind of movie he was in?
Yeah, he was just doing what he does. And he was good.
Yeah.
But, you know, his job was mostly to just give exasperated reactions, which is right up his alley.
Okay, so hear me out. Okay, let's recast. All I want to do is make one casting change.
Just one?
I want pre-op Frank Kitchen to be played by John Leguizamo, and I want him to be a fucking ladies' man and a misogynist. I want him to be so offensively misogynist that there's some reason. Like, the actual short story or the screenplay this was written on, this was, like, the doctor in that is kind of the hero. He's taking revenge on the scumbag who, like, kills his wife and rapes his daughter. So he's doing that strictly as revenge, which you could see that being kind of offensive or whatever. But this is a movie with less stakes than that. Like, there's no particular reason why this all the thing came together. It was just sort of random.
But Frank was macho. Sigourney Weaver told us many times he was so macho.
That's the thing. Yes, that's the thing. And you never get to see it because she can't pull it off.
No.
I mean, and I don't even blame her. It just, it was, yeah, it was just bad. But like I said, I want somebody who is just roughly looks a little bit like Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, you don't have to go crazy. She has to be within an inch or two of height. And that's about all you need. And roughly the same skin tone and the same body type-ish. John Leguizamo.
That would have been a great casting choice.
And you don't have to give her a fucking big old ponytail as a boy. That was like, yeah.
But she had to have the long hair as a lady.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. The whole thing is the turn. But when you already know that she's the main character on the poster, and you already, yeah, I mean, nobody's going into this blind, are they?
How do you mean?
Well,
I mean,
let's ask Dad.
No, I mean, even when you read it, I'm not even sure I put that in. No, I did. I think I took that out of the podcast itself. But when you discuss the movie going on the calendar, we were all in. I mean, it was like, of course we're going to see this movie. Sigourney Weaver, Tony Shalhoub, Anthony LaPaglia, Michelle Rodriguez, fucking A, sign me up.
It had potential and promise until the plot was applied and the writing was applied.
Okay, what if this was directed by Danny Boyle or Edgar Wright or...
Well, the direction is one thing, but you can't fix the writing. You have to have it rewritten. It would have to be it needs a tremendous amount of editing and rewriting and magic. PFM.
Well, the only thing that makes this movie noteworthy at all is it is using as a vehicle the whole issue of identity and specifically gender, which is kind of a hot topic lately. The problem is it's not talking about that at all. This is not a commentary on that. That has nothing to do with it. This Michelle Rodriguez's character, Frank Kitchen, is not a transvestite like Norman Bates, or a transvestite, possibly transsexual like Buffalo Bill. Both of characters that you could, if you were in the trans community, I imagine you would be not so happy to have that, you know, instantly the trans person is a villain. In this case, it's not, there's no identity difference. There's physical identity or whatever, but there's no change.
There's not even...
Frank doesn't become a woman.
Not even that.
Yeah, so maybe it got a little bit of controversy.
Also, I think transsexual is the wrong term, because transsexual implies that they didn't feel right in their body, in their sexuality.
Well, that's what I mean.
So that...
Exactly, this isn't about transsexuality.
No, I agree, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's no gender confusion.
What's the term when... everyone else is uncomfortable with you and your body? Because the pre-Operation Frank made me very uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah, that had the Uncanny Valley aspect to it.
Yeah. It's like Sigourney Weaver, Dr. Jean, is such a brilliant surgeon. She can shave your face like no one on Earth.
Exactly.
Or wipe off that Sharpie, as it were.
Yes. That little magnetic game. What was it? Like Wooly Frank or something?
I vaguely know what you're referring to, but I...
You know, it's a piece of cardboard with a face on it, and some plastic over it, and some like metal shavings and a magnet, and you get to move around to make the beard on him.
It probably caused cancer.
Oh, probably did. Well, you're not supposed to snort it.
Made with radium and unicorn dust.
Probably. So, the assignment.
Well, let me look through my notes here.
Okay, please.
Let's see. I noted early on the straitjacket, ? The odd cartoon-esque video game transformations really annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, it was trying to be sincere.
How much does this movie cost? If you tell me this movie was made for, like $80,000, I might give it some credit.
Purportedly, the budget was $5 million.
Fuck no. No.
Yeah.
Where did that go? That was all Sigourney Weaver's salary, I assume.
I was going to say yes.
Also, the whole Shakespeare and Poe obsession got really old really quick.
Exactly. It's just not like Hannibal Lecter was charming, even though he was a villain. She is not charming at all. She's a jackwagon.
I believe I described this to boyfriend Jesse as what happens when you have an original that you photocopy 1,000 times over each time. Every 10th time you take the copy and photocopy it and take the copy of that and photocopy that. Like by the time you're about 50 generations out, it's faded. It's kind of blurry and fuzzy. You can tell it's not the original. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. You can kind of get where the origin was, but you're so far gone, it's crap and you need to start over. That's what this movie plot was like. It was just like too far gone.
The intellectual snobbery wasn't even clever or entertaining. It was like the first semester freshman coming home for Christmas break after taking a literature class. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, it's like post 9/11 Dennis Miller.
Oh, nice reference.
It's like, dude, it's over. Okay, that's fine. You want to change your politics and whatever, but you can't keep using that shtick. You just sound like an ass.
And put also that, so the assignment is an unfortunate pun. I was also surprised in the beginning of the movie where she had the confrontation with the motel sleazy manager dude, that the hotel sleazy manager dude wasn't played by Steve Buscemi.
Aww.
Also, I think this is the worst soundtrack ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. None of that money went to soundtrack.
The main song that they repeated was called Tomboy.
Yeah.
It was as the title of the movie.
Yeah. Repeating a song at all during a movie is a bad idea.
There was this constant master exposition that kept going on that was like just annoying. Like, I don't need you to spoon feed me everything. Either show me with acting and plot or don't. But I don't need the characters to be constantly narrating and over explaining things that are incidental.
It was like you are watching an IMDb plot synopsis.
Exactly.
The best part of this movie was Pancho the dog.
Okay, I liked the end. Just the reveal about the fingers. Because it explained the bloody crotch because her hands were in her crotch and explained the straitjacket. That's the shining example of this. And like I said, I hope Michelle Rodriguez got lots of enjoyment or career fulfillment out of playing post-op Frank. But her playing pre-op Frank is not, it's going to take some of that away.
I also observed, quote, "Wouldn't all that duct tape tit action leave adhesive residue?" Question mark.
Yeah, it's going to be unpleasant.
I'd actually expected at the end a better twist than her fingers being chopped off would have been to have Sigourney Weaver's tits chopped off. Since Frank had his masculinity removed, having a piece of her femininity removed.
She didn't have a lot of femininity.
And then I put fingers was a nice touch? Question mark.
Oh.
Very nice. I don't know. I like the fingers. I like she's a surgeon, took off her fingers. That's fine.
Right now, in the back of my head, I am playing They Might Be Giants fingertips. So that's all I got for notes. That was it. I actually took 3 pages of notes, but it's not worth it.
The fingers made no sense.
No, I get the fingers.
Why do they think she committed this crime?
Oh, no, I see that point.
That's a police's problem. Yeah, that's
incompetent police work. Considering the mass murder spree that was happening in and around the area, clearly the police are not that competent anyway.
Also, how do you shoot all those people with a gun when you have no fingers? That just occurred to me.
That's my whole point. How did she commit this crime?
And actually, you can only do it to yourself if you're very careful with that last couple fingers.
Yeah.
The first ones are easy. You can take off the whole hand, no problem. It's the second hand that's problematic.
She's playing that game on her iPad Slice, right?
I remember that game. Yeah. So, Brother Jay, what's your verdict? The Assignment, 2016.
I don't... Verdict. This just needs to be executed. That's my verdict.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
No.
Yeah, I agree. So, Father Anderson, I think this was a cruel joke you played on us.
I'm interested to see what he got out of it, if he liked it, or if it was just he watched it with a big WTF in his head the whole time. And maybe that he just wants to validate that it's as bad a movie as he thinks it is. I hope. I pray. Cross my fingers that's the case. Because if he liked this movie, I have to ask, okay, explain what you liked about it. Because I want to have that perspective. I want to find that place. But I don't know that I can get there. So,
look, I was excited. I was excited to watch this because the last movie he suggested we talk about, Blue Ruin, liked. I really liked
it.
Yeah,
that was great.
And I would
great.
Probably have never watched it otherwise.
I would agree.
But that goodwill has been squandered.
Well, okay, on one hand, I wish this were a worse movie. I wish there was worse acting, worse actors, and more tits.
Yeah, it would be more entertaining.
Yeah, more violence or you know, again, John Leguizamo could have made this a worse movie,
or
too.
If it were campy, even. Or farcical. Or
oh, no,
there was, like,
no.
sliding trombones. Wah, wah. You know, there's...
Hold on.
Yes.
Pre-op Frank can be... oh, no. God, I'm blanking on his goddamn
Wesley name. Snipes in Tu Wong Fu. Noxzema Jones. Come on, that was hilarious. Sigourney Weaver would have made him white.
Why can't I think of his name?
What else has he been in?
Yeah.
He's been in every Adam Sandler movie. L. King's dad. What is his name?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. Okay. I was going to say it's not John Schneider.
Oh, no.
So Rob Schneider plays Priyap Frank, and Dr. Rachel Jane is played by Adam Sandler.
No, I like John Leguizamo as Priyap Frank. And what about Rob Schneider as post-op Frank?
No, I still think Michelle Rodriguez did a fine job as post-op Frank. Except that, yeah, the other thing is, you needed to make it wacky. This can't be a serious movie when there's nothing else serious going on. Like, you're right. Like, okay, so I'm coming around to Jason, to your point about the cartoon interstitials do not help.
No.
And this could never, I mean, this movie does not have the tone of something serious. This is not a later career Denzel Washington movie.
There's not even anything in this movie about Frank having to deal with life as a woman.
No. There's some shock. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I give him credit for getting the hormones right. Kinda.
Yeah. Can you undo this? What? Like, I don't know, maybe I just never considered that you could undo that, but I guess you'd need to go to a doctor at some point to say, look, this happened to me, now I'm having regrets.
Well, it's not as much as that can be undone as much as kind of redone. And it's possible, but the money involved alone is expensive. And the doctor was fairly accurate. Could be done, but you're probably not going to be really all that functional.
Well, and also, don't throw the doctor in if this is not a serious movie. That's the thing. It's the 400th misstep.
Which doctor?
It's a big misstep. The doctor he sees, that Frank sees about the reversal.
Well, that's where I think this movie takes itself too seriously.
And exactly.
It was a disservice. Some of it is, it's trying so hard to be serious, to make itself a serious, badass movie that it loses itself. I think it could have been better. I really do think that this had a lot of potential, and in the hands of a more skilled writer, perhaps.
But even, okay, yeah, I mean, so make this more cartoony, but also make it more tongue-in-cheek. Give tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, I mean, give Frank some kind of charm or something. Not sympathy. But, I mean, if nothing else, let Michelle Rodriguez play it as oh, I will kill you as a guy, but I will also fuck you up as a badass bitch.
Well, or
whatever.
I would even say go to the opposite route, where just make Frank a loathsome, irredeemable, awful waste of human flesh as a male.
Just exactly.
Yeah. So reprehensible and terrible, there's no redemption possible.
Yeah, toxic masculinity. Yeah. Frank has to be toxic in the beginning.
Exactly.
And then somehow this gender reassignment, whether by his will or not, somehow gives him a new perspective that gives him a second chance at being a regular person.
And then fails anyway.
It doesn't have to be heavy-handed like that. It just has to be something.
Yes.
There's got to be a turn. There's no turn in any of the characters.
Well, that's
no character can make a
turn.
That's
also the thing. We don't know what Frank does at the end. Does Frank turn out... stopping the crime spree and going straight, so to speak.
Did you recognize the doctor, by the way?
I did not. Who was the doctor?
He was in Almost Famous. He was Ben Fong Torres.
Oh, from the Rolling Stone staff?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I could find nowhere online where it divulged the gross profits of this movie.
I don't think this was ever... theatrically released.
I think this movie has now been seen by 4 people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if there's any non-Andersons who've just seen this movie.
Oh, no, there's. If you read IMDb or you read the reviews on Amazon, people have seen this movie. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 38%.
38%?
I know, that is the most generous.
Didn't the Emoji Movie have like 4%?
It's like it turned out to be like 11% or something, but yeah, it started out as like under 7.
Well, that also makes you wonder how many staff and crew went to Rotten Tomatoes and rated it.
Yeah.
Because the ratio of people seeing it may not have been, this is clearly a lie. 60% on Rotten Tomatoes? No. Oh, sorry, different assignment.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's the Aidan Quinn assignment. Hold on, one moment. Now I want to watch.
I've seen that one.
Are we sure that that's not the movie Dad watched?
Yes.
31%. Out of 54 reviews.
I realize none of us could adequately answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because that's what we do here.
Audience score 18% liked it, with an average rating of 2.2. I'm just going to keep interrupting because it's funny.
It's okay. There's a user review that's highlighted, that's noted in IMDb that says 5 stars out of 10 by a Miss Jackie O in March of 2017 saying, "I'm trans and was looking forward to this. Forget the uproar from sensitive trans groups. This film was never transphobic." It's like, if you're advertising to like this as some sort of like trans positive movie, you're not going to get that. If you're advertising it as something that is horrible, like there was a legitimate uproar about the trans portrayal in Silence of the Lambs being a bad thing, like Buffalo Bill being the killer who happened to be trans was thought of negatively. This doesn't have either of those things. This is not about that. Nobody's rooting for Frank. Nobody's rooting for anybody.
You know what would have really improved this movie is having some random doctor come in for like the last 7 minutes and just explain to us that Frank Kitchen is not a transvestite.
Exactly. Exactly. If it was somebody from Kolchak, I'd say fucking yes, hire him. Not sure who would be left, but yeah. Let me tell you, I am really enjoying watching The Night Stalker. I've seen all the episodes now, and they play on MeTV, and I still put them on DVR and watch them. Because you end up people with like, God, I'm bad with names tonight. The guy who played Schneider on One Day at a Time, and just a ton of those actors from the 70s. And, of course, Darren McGavin, who's fucking great.
Okay, so this... Okay, release dates for this movie. September 11, 2016, Toronto International Film Festival.
Oh, TIFF.
Vietnam, 2017. USA, March 3, 2017, Internet. UK, March 13, 2017, Internet. France, March 23, 2017, Internet.
Yeah, straight to... This is
USA,
the
April 2017. April 7th, 2017, film release.
Film release like in theaters? No, there's no way. I mean, maybe, but this is a high budget, low budget movie. This is like as independent as it gets. Except, what production company was this? I hope they got a good write off. Maybe it was like Disney or something. They can write it off against all the Marvel films.
Yeah, I don't see Disney making this movie.
Well, Touchstone.
SBS Films.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know. Although I think we've now talked about this movie longer than we talked about Kubo.
Sorry, Kubo. I recommend everybody watch Kubo. So, that is the assignment. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.